हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So now, the summary of Natyashastra, page 1. Natyashastra, compiled by Bharat Muni, owes its origin to Gandharva Veda, which is a part, Upaveda, of Samaveda. The Natyashastra text explains about the origin of drama in the heavenly planets and its descent to the earth and details on the chief features of a dramatic presentation. The term, yes?
So the text... It's from Bharat Muni?
It means the Natyashastra, Bharat Muni is the author. He's the one speaking throughout.
The summary, it's part of the text?
It's a part of the text. It's a compilation from the text, but I just...
It's like how we do on Chaitanya Charitamrita and that. Yes. You know, you take verses and things from there, but it's put together in a way that it's, you know, understandable.
Yes.
So we don't necessarily keep the order that he presented it in. See, because when he's presented it, then it's going to be the Suryatam. But now we're giving it, it's the elucidator.
Thematic.
Yes. Elucidatory, that's the name. I looked it up.
Okay.
Because otherwise, if you say chronological, then academics have been out of shape, because no, chronological means the time, and Bhagavatam's not... We're saying, no, but it was spoken in that order. No, but the events are not in that time order, so it can't be... So therefore, if you use Suryatam, then they can't complain. First, they'll have to go look it up, and then second, they can't complain.
Okay.
The term Natya is defined by the author as follows. The nature of loka, people, associated with pleasure and pain... When that is presented through abhinaya, acting, with anga, bodily gestures, vacha, words, sattva, temperament, and aharya, costumes and makeup, as its constituents, it is called natya, drama. Natyashastra 1.119. Then natya, drama, is the anukirtana, restatement, of the bhava, mental or inner state, of the totality of the three worlds. Right? Means because it can be about anything in the three worlds. That's the thing. And then it's presented, like we were saying here, through the abhinaya, the anga, the vacha, the sattva, and the harya. Right? So through those things, then all the sentiments of the three worlds are presented. Natyashastra 1.107. Yeah? Good?
Yes.
This Natya drama is rich with various bhavas, mental states, is full of many situations, and is representational of the totality of human life, loka vrita, Natyashastra 1.112. So it can be taken from anything. So it's not that it's limited. Anything that's within human life, the universe, any situation and all that, any moods, all these different things, all being presented together, that's Natya. Right? You know, but as they said, it's because its purpose is to lift the consciousness, therefore you only take those situations and those individuals and those activities that are going to raise the consciousness. Like that. Right. Natyashastra is originally conceived by Lord Brahma in his meditation after being petitioned by the demigods headed by Lord Indra to create an object of diversion from their lower tendencies, which is both audible and visible and can be enjoyed by all classes of people equally. Right? So that was the request. Mm-hmm. Right? The lower tendencies is they get distracted by things that are not so important. So how to bring the consciousness back up? It means when they're proper consciousness, it's good. But when it drops, you know, and they have a need for for engaging the senses. So then drama is one of the ways they can engage the senses and bring the consciousness back up to its natural position. After the creation of Natyaveda, Brahma said to Indra, this work consisting of the itihasas, right? Because iti means Purana will be the general, history. Itihas means it's a specific history. So if you have a hero, it's an itihas. Right? Means that you are in Mahabharata, in Bhagavatam, let's say, it's a Purana, then in going through there, at some point you come across Lord Ramachandra. But then it moves on to the next king, because it's just giving the line of kings. In other words, all the kings from, basically from Swayambhuva all the way down to present and going into the future, then that is being defined. So in that one point, Ramachandra will come up. Now, if you take a description that's just on Lord Ramachandra, that becomes itihas. So then a drama is going to be itihas. It's going to have one hero, and it's going to then, therefore, the situations he went through and how he overcame and came to success and all that. You should get them dramatized and acted by gods. So he says, therefore, this is what it is, so you get this applied. You apply this. Pass on this Natyaveda to those of the gods who are skillful, learned, bold in speech, and inured to hard work. Because if you want to be a good actor, you have to work very hard. It actually is, like that. So
it's more easy to be a spectator.
Yes, it is. But for the actors, they have to work hard, because then they have to, you have to rehearse on a regular basis. They have to do all the different things. And then if there's something special that they have to do, they have to develop that. So it's like anything. You have to apply yourself. The Brahmin applies himself in the studies, his hard work, the Kshatriya to what he's doing, the Vaishya to his, to his economics. So also then for those involved in the Natyaveda, it's serious work. But it's not any more serious work than any other work. It's just that this has a specific thing it does, and so therefore then you put in the work, it gets the effect. Like Prabhupada gave the example of when he was young, then they practiced a drama for 1 year.
Yes.
So everyone's wondering, why are you practicing for a year? But then when they performed, then it had effect. The audience was moved to tears. But if they'd only practiced for 2 weeks, then that probably wouldn't have happened. So
it seems that To work is part of the depression.
Work is
part of the depression.
Yes. No one is supposed to be lazy.
Yes, no unemployment.
There's no unemployment in the Vedic.
Yes.
Because that's why they also stay away from technology and all those things, because that just, the whole point of technology is to put people out of work so I can make more money.
Yes.
That's all. It just seems like it's better, I have more control. I walk into my house, I clap my hands, the lights go on, I clap my hands, the lights go off. I'm the supreme, all that kind of jazz. But otherwise, before it was that, you had a big house, if you can pay for all those lights and all that stuff, you can pay for assistants who can come in and do things, turn on the lights. So the idea was that more people were involved.
Yes.
That's all. Everybody had something to do. And so, and everybody's supposed to do their best. That means then the economics would be at its best. Otherwise, people didn't come to India because they were lazy and nothing was accomplished. Right? It's that temple, was it Somnath?
Somnath
in Gujarat. I think the Persians came 17 times. 17 or 19, something like that. Each time they took everything from the temple. And it was worth their while. So they came back. After the last time, just nobody rebuilt it. They just left it. It's like you see Krishna 17 times, like that. Then Jarasandha came on the 18th and he left, went to somewhere else. So, enough of that. So people came here for the wealth. The Mughals didn't come here because there was no wealth. Point is there was so much more here than whatever they had over in their place. You know, like that. So everybody came because it was the center of wealth and knowledge, and not because people worked. And that's the whole point. Everybody has to work. While the moderns all, oh, how you can sit back and enjoy and relax. And so in other words, I get you to buy the, you know, a particular machine because it says now you have to do less work. I want to do less work, you know, because of the mode of ignorance. So therefore I buy the machine. What I don't see is that I have to work, I don't work in this area, but I have to work in another area.
Yes.
So I have to work and get more money so I can pay for all these machines that do all the work for me. So at work, I'm working hard, but when I come home, then, oh, I do no work. You know. So it's just illusion, Maya's trick. Yeah?
In the Western country, we have the social help.
Yes.
So I know some people, since 30 years, they never worked on receiving social help.
Yes, but then the whole point is if they're being supported by the state, they should be working for the state. Means either if they're brahminical and all that, then they should be doing full-time brahminical activities. You know, doing service at the temple, preaching, studying, teaching, like that, because the government is giving the money, and if they're doing nothing, what benefit does the government get? Otherwise, the government gets 1/6 of what you do. So if they're brahminical, they'll get 1/6 of all that studying and teaching and charity and all that kind of stuff, in piety. And if they're not, they're just a common person, then they're getting paid by the government. Why aren't they out sweeping and cleaning and doing stuff that, because in places needs work, you know, needs so many things. So if the government's going to give you money, then you should be doing something, right? You know, unless it's a matter of a welfare thing that somebody can't, you know, that physically they can't do something, or let's say it's a single mother and raising the kids and stuff like that, then yes, you take care, but it's that. But as soon as it comes to another point, then you start working. You know, either you work on your own and maintain yourself, or if you continue with the government, then you start doing some work for the government. But you can't just have nothing. That's where does that come from? That's why you have... The people that have the money don't want to pay, don't like welfare states, because they're the ones that pay, and these guys do nothing. Right? And those who are kind, then they, you know, they'll say, okay, we should do it, but they're not considering that. Why don't you consider this point yet? Oh, no, they don't care. We'll give. But the point is why can't it? Why? The Vedic thing is both work. They don't mind giving money if the welfare is only going to those who are, you know, brahminical, or those who actually need it. They don't want to support guys that do nothing and just waste everybody's time. And then at the same time, is sometimes they're criminal, they do different things, they create, you know, riots. You know, if there's a riot, they're the ones that show up. You know, everything's looted, they're the ones that take it. So both have a good point, but it's only reconciled in the Vedic. So the Vedic is, yes, you have to, it's by those who are willing to work hard. Because whatever you do, you work hard, you become expert at it. Then things become prosperous for you. And then everything increases all around. It's not just that person. They do, everything increases. So the Vedic point is that everything increases. Krishna is unlimited, always increasing. So why shouldn't he's the cause, so why shouldn't the effect also do the same thing? So that it's just getting less and less. That means it's against the natural nature. Why is that? Because we're not bringing things in line with God, who naturally increases. That's why I say Krishna has all opulence and is ever expanding. Therefore, if you do everything in connection with him, there's always opulence and it's ever expanding. It's not the work that produces it. Krishna said you should work. So if you work, that's why you're getting... Because you're following Krishna's laws, that's why people get maintained. You say, no, because I work, I get money. No, it's because God said you should have a job and work. That's why you're getting money. And then according to your karma, how much you get for that same work, because there's only 24 hours in a day, right? So it's not by hour that people are getting specifically their volume of money. in the same amount of time, someone's getting hundreds, someone's getting thousands, someone's getting 10,000, someone's getting millions. Same time. And that's the karma. That's because they performed work better, more in line with God's laws. So the point is, you follow God's laws, things go well. And that's just the material. So that means if everything goes so nicely because it's connected to God, why not properly connect to God in a personal relationship? Then that goes the best. So that's the whole idea here of the Natya, is that you'll do dramas about the Lord and the devotees and all that, and elevate the consciousness and go back to Godhead. That's the actual purpose. But it's wide enough that it can be used for beyond that. Okay. But Indra expresses the incompetence of the demigods in practicing and teaching this work, and thus Brahma gives us knowledge of Natyaveda to Bharat Muni. Right? Yeah. So Indra felt that, no, we wouldn't be able to do it. So you have to have some people who are going to apply themselves. So we see here then Bharat Muni, then he's a Brahmin and his sons are Brahmins. So then they will put in the work because it's Shastra. So they're acting according to Shastra. They're putting on dramas according to Shastra. Well, the demigods have a proclivity that they'll work hard in their office because they keep the office because of the benefits they get from being in that office. Indra has a certain palace. He doesn't do the work of Indra. He's not in that palace, so therefore he does the work, so he can enjoy in the palace. While Natya means, and then it's about others have to enjoy. So that's why those who can put in that hard work, they are successful. And those who you know, it's about them and expressing themselves and all this, then people kind of start to shy away from them. They might be one or two big things, and then they just kind of fade away. Bharat Muni passed on this knowledge to his 100 sons, who practiced and specialized various aspects of this Natyaveda. But being intoxicated with the knowledge of the Natyaveda, they on purpose produced in an assembly of spectators a play which caricatured the sages, and which was unacceptable and full of wicked acts, and which encouraged rural manners and was cruel and inauspicious. On hearing this, the sages became extremely angry and cursed them, in other words, the sons of Brahma, as follows. As due to pride in your knowledge of drama, you have taken to arrogance, avinaya. Your evil knowledge will get destroyed. In the community of sages and Brahmins, or in meeting them, you will appear as being no followers of the Veda and will attain the character of Shudras. So in other words, now, this is because we're wondering, why is it now, because we see here, it's like the demigods felt they couldn't do it. It was only these high-grade Brahmins could do the Natyaveda. Why is it today they're considered Shudras? Because of this. Because they don't mind characterizing anybody, being sacrilegious. That's one of the funds of actors, is being sacrilegious. You're like that, doing funny things, does that make sense? Doing things against what's the norm, trying to break down the norms, trying to establish, the glory of the senses, glory of attachments, and all that kind of things. That's you see the natures, because it's based from back on this. Later on, the request of an earthly king, Nahusha, who ruled heaven for a small period, right? Because sometimes there's a problem in heaven, and then a king from here goes and rules for a while, and then after comes back, like that. So then Nahusha, who ruled in heaven for a small period, Bharat Muni instructed his sons to go to their earthly planet, and distribute the knowledge of Natyaveda, and thereby free themselves from the curse of the sages. Thus, the dramatic performance has been brought down to earth, and the successive generations of dramatic artists, Bharata, have come into being. Like that. Yeah, so it comes because it's with Bharat Muni, so therefore actors and all that, or those who work within that, they're all Bharatas. Following Bharat Muni. Like that. But you see, is they got free from the curse because they were cursed to behave and act like Shudras. So coming to earth, then the humans took on that Shudra nature performing drama. Now they can go back to the heavenly planets and be Brahmins. So they passed on the good word. So that's how Natyas are Shudras. It's interesting that, what's his name? Manu mentions that Natas, then they are fallen Kshatriyas. So at one time they were Kshatriyas and somehow or another they became Shudras. So that has the characters that, you know, because Kshatriyas have that nature to work hard, you know, be bold, you know, dynamic, you know, and have a variety of knowledge and everything like that, and they can take on, you know, these characters of being kings and this and that. So it's like that, but because of this curse, they have the nature of Shudras. So it's an interesting thing is that they've come to this position. So you'll see is it's not uncommon for those from that kind of background to get involved in this. Does that make sense? You know, sometimes you see, some big artist and all that, and in their lineage it goes back, you see that they were connected with some nobility or this or that. It's just that's how it works. The Natas are by nature fallen Kshatriyas. Like that. At least the ones that can do everything nicely. The ones that are too much about themselves and this and that, that may be their backgrounds, not that. But then according to Bharata, they're not actually good actors. You know, they have to be hardworking and they have to be able to work with others, know the Shastra, follow it. You know the things like that. Later, we did that. Chief features of Natya Shastra. The Sangraha, when subjects taught in detail have been composed and brought together in the form of sutras and their bhashyas, commentaries, these constitute, according to the learned, a Sangraha. Right? So you bring all the knowledge together and then you categorize it and all that. Then you have a Sangraha. Right? So the first thing will just be listing the items. Then, you know, like you see, as Bharat Muni says, so this knowledge then contains this, 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 this. Then immediately after, he takes them one by one and then goes through. So that's a Sangraha. Yeah. So the Sangraha of Natyaveda, one that we have here. Mellows, rasa, and the ecstatic emotional states, bhava. So that's the chief feature, right? Theatrical representation, abhinaya, dramatic plot, vastu, and the four dramatic styles, vritti, right? You know, the energetic, the... what is it? Chivalrous, romantic,
energetic,
verbal,
graceful, and
graceful,
grand.
Yes. So that, you know, the plot means it has the plot has to go, but it carries these flavors, right? Success, city, vocal and instrumental music, and distribution of roles. So these are all the main elements that if you know this nicely, you can make it all work. Because here, theatrical representation, the abhinaya, remember that included, which is acting, the bodily gestures, words, temperament, and costumes and makeup. You know, and that then means the background of that means all your stage setup, all this and that, and, you know, so everything, the theater, the this, that, everything goes with that, you know. Then success, how to be successful, you have to remember it was talked about certain things you have to do, then it'll be successful, and if you don't, it won't. Vocal and instrumental, so you have to be able to have the music and all goes nicely. And that, and then also who should do what. You know that because it says you'll be successful. You know who should play what, who should do what. You have the wrong person, then it doesn't work. Like they have, let's say, good actors, a bad director, it doesn't work. They have a great director, even though they're not great actors, he gets out of them the maximum. That's how you can have, let's say in the modern thing, you can have a movie where the director gets an award, but no one else does. Because his direction was so good that he got the best out of everyone. You know, or sometimes the screenwriter gets, even though the thing itself doesn't get. Or an actor gets, but not others. But, you know, it's all like that. And so, yeah. So you have to know who should do what. Rasa and bhava, right? So that is the first of the chief features. The goal of the performing arts. At least that's how they contemporary use it. It may have been before it was like this, but the performing arts. They're very, very proud of that. It's the performing arts. Is ultimately to let the spectator experience divine sentiments and emotions through the play. Then evaluate and feel the spiritual values within himself and rise to a higher level of consciousness. The playwright, the actors, and the director all aim to give the spectators an aesthetic experience and to transport them from the mundane to transcendental realm. Thus, the topic of rasa, which elucidates about the various sentiments and emotions, forms the core aspect of the Natyashastra treatise. Right? That's the core. That's the whole point of what everything's trying to do, is that one point. Everything else is how to get that done. Right? You know, just like, let's say, we say preaching. The point is to convince people of their of who they are in their relationship with Krishna, and to accept that in that relationship, acting in that relationship in devotional service to develop love of God. Everything else, and how you speak, the environment, you know, your programs that you do, how what kind of people you deal with, or how you arrange things, you know, all that's in support of that one thing. So this one point is what everything else is for. Everything else is supporting that. So as you see, the roles, then they can get the rasa bhava, the vocal and musical, add to that. The success means that you got that. Dramatic plot and that, they must bring that out. The theatrical representation is to support that. And then Melos and Rasa and all the moods that are there, it's to bring that out in the audience and to elevate the consciousness. Yes.
Maharaj, when the audience go out, the audience must feel something about the emotion.
Yes, it should be during the time. In other words, they have those moments where they feel, because it's people remember moments.
Yes.
Because that's all the more we get. 1/11th of a second, that, woo, that was good, you know? Like that. Because there's the moment, and then they start talking about it, and this and that, and their friends, and they take pictures of it, and, you know, stuff like that.
Yes.
So that's you're trying to generate those moments, or those samskars.
Yes.
That's the whole thing you're trying to do. Yes, so transfer it from the mundane to transcendental realm. That's the point. So you might transfer them from the mundane, lower mundane, to a higher mundane on the material platform, but its actual purpose is to the transcendental. That's why it's about the demigods and the devotees and all that. Right? Like the first drama was about...
Samudra Mantra.
Yes, Samudra. When they're turning the milk ocean. Right? So Krishna's there, the demigods are there, the demons are there. Various incarnations are there. There's an activity, you know, that they're getting the benefit, and then all these different things are coming out, you know. So you can say that's a real, in one drama, you have everything. The whole universe is represented in that one drama. So they're attaining things, but there's also attaining the higher. Everyone's performing their duties, how they cooperate together. It's like you could just, from that one thing, all things of the universe that needs to be done is brought out. So that's why you see is, basically, every Purana will have that story, because it's such an important... We just think it's a story, but no, if you look at it, it deals with everything. You know? Thus, the topic of rasa, which elucidates about the various sentiments and emotions, form the core aspect of the Natyashastra treatise. Just as the affectation of a relishment occurs from the combination of various vegetables, herbs, and other edibles... Similarly, the effectuation of rasa occurs from the arrival of various bhavas. And just as the taste, such as a dessert and side dishes, are brought about by means of edibles, such as sugar, and by means of condiments, herbs, and seasoning, so a sthayi bhava, which has acquired various bhavas, reaches the state of rasa. Right? So all these ingredients together, that's why Rupa Goswami called it the ingredients of rasa. Remember there was that discussion we had, I think it was, maybe it was last year? Yeah. No, last year, earlier this year? No, I think it was last year. That about, what's the difference between rati and rasa? Because we always say this rasa, that rasa, and then that we saw that for, in one discussion, that for the whole, most of the point time, it was all discussing the rati. And we're saying, so what's the difference? So rati simply means that attraction, the sthayi, but it's without all the ingredients. So when now you add the ingredients of the vibhava, the anubhavas, it's all these, so that you have the ashray, the vishay, and the udipan, all of that together, then you get taste rasa. So that's what he's saying here, is that then all these things together, then that creates the taste. So it's not just one thing. You know, if you work with one thing, then you have to bring it all from one thing. But if you have all these things, something from them can easily resonate with the audience. You know, does that make sense? You know, it's not like that. Someone might wonder, what is the meaning of the word rasa? And rasa is so called because it is relished. How is rasa tasted? Just as well-disposed persons, while eating food cooked with many kinds of spice, enjoy ashvadayati, its taste, and attain pleasure and satisfaction. So the cultured people, possessors of the sthayi bhava, right? So that's where you see before is that the audience also needs to be cultured.
Yes.
Then they can attain the highest benefits from it, like that. The nice thing about the devotional is even if they don't catch from there, that it's transcendental. They do get spiritual benefit, but it may be unknown, right? But those who understand, they understand the pastimes and all these different things like that, when they see it, then it you get such a powerful effect. So that's why you see is that the drama can be appreciated by everyone. But the more educated you are in the topic, especially the subject matter that's being discussed, and then all these other details, you can appreciate how nicely they put it together. Then you get more taste, right? Because it mentioned that how well it's the wordings is done and the techniques are done and all that. Then all like the Brahmins and all the intellectuals, they thought, "Ooh, this is nice. This, you know, how well he's put this together," like that. You know, but if the moods and all that are nice, then the women will appreciate that this has been nicely done. Because mechanics, if they don't produce emotion, what's the point? So you might have that it technically has been done nicely, but it didn't generate any emotion. So, yes, the intellectuals will think it was great, but the ladies won't think it's great. Because it didn't produce. You make a big, huge arrangement for a program, but it doesn't elicit mood. What's the point? You know, because the mood is the thing. So something more simple that would generate the mood would be much better. That's why then these things are known. Well, then something very exciting and powerful. Then that the general audience, then they get very inspired, like that. You know, so different people, they take something from the whole thing. So we see here is that the more one has an ability in an area, the more one can gain from it. So in other words, everybody can gain, and the more you know, the more you'll gain. Okay, so the cultured people, possessors of sthayi bhava, taste the rasa represented by an expression of various anubhavas with words, gestures, and the sattva, derive pleasure and satisfaction. Just sattva?
This is one place, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's either use one or the other, or if you're going to use both, then put one in bracket. Srila Jiva Goswami instructs on the role of rasa in a dramatic performance as follows. One should not have faith that material vibhavas, etc., can generate rasa, because in generating rasa, it produces vibhatsa, disgust in all cases. Right? So on the material platform, to try to produce rasa, it's always going to create a distaste at some point. You know, just as you eat something you really like to eat, one bite, two bites, three bites, and after that, then no more. You know, probably gives the example. You know, you give them one rasgul, yes, another one, yeah, like this, but after five or seven, no more. So it always ends in that. It's always that. We don't necessarily call it disgust, but those on the platform of rasa, why would you stop wanting to taste? Unless you have, in other words, you don't have the taste. Right, so basically, it all ends in vibhatsa, in disgust, like that. You don't want any more. We'll call it satisfied, but actually, it's not, because you've lost. Because in the spiritual, there is no cessation. You can go on unlimitedly, but there's no dissatisfaction because that you can taste more and more. It's like here, I want to taste more. I'm dissatisfied until I can't taste anymore. But then it ends. Well, the spiritual, it doesn't end. And you have no distaste for that. You want to keep going. It's so wonderful. It's always increasing. Spiritual rasa directed to the Lord, however, is possible for all. Right? So the material may go for the materialist, not for the devotees. But if we're doing spiritual rasa, that'll work for the devotees and for the materialists. Starting with the materialist and ending with the liberated person. and even for objects with no senses and no consciousness, since they all undergo ecstatic transformations. Right? So even the plants and this and that, you know, everything gets benefit. Right? You know, or the bugs in the air, or, you know, they say. Thus, the conclusion of all the scriptures is that priti for the Lord is the highest rasa. Priti Sandarbha Anucheda 107. The chief cause for rasa to arise is the deception of the depiction. Let's say, why would it deception? No, the depiction of the character by words. Depiction, very good word. The depiction of the character by words, acting, etc. Since anuraga arising from seeing the Lord, direct person, is superior to anuraga arising from hearing about Him. The person portraying the Lord, Anukarta, is the devotee, since others cannot portray the Lord at all. Rasa will arise from the devotee's portrayal, but the Lord's rasa should not generally arise by being directed to the devotee actor, as if he were the Lord, since this is contrary to bhakti. Right? Therefore, this should not be attempted. The realization should be with a relationship with the Lord, not with an actor. It is successful as an udipana for bhakti rasa. So in other words, it's a worship of the Lord. Through that, you're appreciating, and through that, then it's the Lord. So you're appreciating the acting because it reminds you of the Lord, and that way they're a good actor, but you don't say they become the Lord from that.
This is a mystic of the sadhya.
Sorry?
This is a mystic.
Yes. Like there's, I don't know where it is, but I think it's on this side, but it also might be on the other side of India or somewhere in South, that there's some actors or actresses that play specific divine roles, and they start to become identified as, you know, like someone plays Durga,
yes,
and
yes.
So the actor himself is considered Durga,
yes.
And stuff like that. I don't think recently, not so much, but if you go back like 20 years or so, then it would be very much more prominent. Yeah?
There was a famous actor in South, and later on he became Chief Minister of Andhra Pradesh. So he was doing all the characters of divine characters.
Okay.
And then later on he claimed himself as God and sat on the cradle of Govinda in Lord Tirupati temple.
That's true.
He's a cradle. He sat.
And then he lost the election next time.
Yes, that'll teach you. Yeah, yeah. Did anyone point that out to him? Did anyone tell him that?
Yeah,
he was
annoyed actually.
Yeah,
that's the main reason he lost. Otherwise, he was very popular.
Yeah, because they take it too far. Yeah, because that's the whole point. You don't take it that far.
Yes.
So, like that, then seeing them, you're remembering the Lord and all that, so the emotions are going, may go through the actor, but it's not about the actor, it's not to the actor, it's to Krishna.
Yes.
So, yeah. It's part of, it's a point of the devotional, like that, how Krishna's in everything. You know, so then through that you can connect to everything to Krishna. And then there's the direct, you know, the holy name, the deity, devotees, the Bhagavatam, like this. Then that aspect is direct. But otherwise through everything is Krishna. It's the same principle, the same philosophy. But just you have to know how to apply it so you don't become a sahaji or an impersonalist. Like that, yeah. Relationship between rasa and bhava. It is apparent that the rasa arises from bhava and not vice versa. The bhavas are so called by experts in drama, for they make one feel bhavayanti, the rati in connection with various... Oh. No. It's upside down. I'm thinking, what language is this? Trying to think of it. This is like an... I don't know. Yes. Okay. Yours is upside down?
No.
Only mine was.
When I printed, then all were coming together, then by taking...
Wow. Yeah, no. But it's just funny. At first, I didn't think it's upside down. At first, I think, what is this? And then, you know, as you start to look, oh, it's upside down. For they make one feel bhavayati, the rati, in connection with various modes of dramatic representation. Footnote 2. When the meanings presented by determinants, vibhavas, and consequence, anubhavas, are made to pervade gamayite, the heart of the spectators, they are called bhavas. As in these, the inner idea of the writer is made to pervade the mind of the spectators by means of words, gestures, color of the face, representation of the temperament, they are called bhavas. Right? So, by all these different aspects, then you get that mood. Mm-hmm. Right? So those are the bhavas. Right? Just as by many articles of various kinds, auxiliary cooked eatable, vyanjana, is brought forth. Right? So you have so many items, but you put them all together, and then from that you get a particular item, a particular preparation. So in the same way, you take all these elements and like that, put that together, then you get the taste. So in other words, from bhavas you get rasa, not the other way around. Rasa doesn't produce bhavas. Bhavas produce rasa. Just like ingredients produce a preparation, not preparation produces ingredients. It's not that, you cook dinner and it was nice and you weren't sure, you thought people would eat a lot or some extra people might come and that, so you cooked extra. Right, so then, whatever it is, it's after you pack it up, put it in the fridge. Then in the morning, you get it back out, get out the frying pan and that, put it back in the frying pan and start cooking it and all that, and then it goes back out into all the ingredients and like that. We shouldn't waste, like that. And use this again. It doesn't go that way. So the bhavas, along with different kinds of theatrical representation, abhinaya, will cause the rasa to be felt. So all these are ingredients to be put together. That's why it's how much it should be. You can say, all the taste comes out of this, so therefore there should be more of me. No. It's just like you get taste from the salt, but you only put so many salts, a few grains. You can't put more. If I put more, it'll get more taste. So that's why then, people that overdo it and stuff like that or make themselves too prominent, you'll lose the whole... The rasa is lost. They because they overdo the bhava. Like that, yeah? There can be no rasa prior to the bhava. And no bhava without the rasa following it. And during the theatrical representation, abhinaya, they result from their interaction. Right, so therefore, from the bhava, you're going to get rasa. Because of the rasa, then the further bhavas then create more, and so they like this, they nurture it. But you have to know the direction it's going, like that. So because of the rasa, then you're able to appreciate further bhavas into rasa. It's like you get something started, and then it runs. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates on the cause of experience of rasa in a dramatic performance in his commentary to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindha 2.5.106-107 as follows. Though rati produces rasa through the mind of the experiences, someone may propose that dramatic presentations can also directly produce an experience of rasa. The author rejects this notion. The author meaning?
Rupa Goswami, because okay. The commentary to Bhakti Rasamrita.
Yeah, but maybe just put that in brackets. Rejects this notion with an approving statement from others. According to the literary experts, there are three supporting factors in the production of rasa. In seeing a drama, these factors are the character depicted, for instance, Nala, famous character in Sanskrit literature. Okay, we got the dot on the... Okay. Yes. The actor and the spectator seeing the performance, right? So you have the character, the actor, and the spectator. All these three are considered. In hearing a poetic work, these factors are the character described, the speaker, and the hearer. Right? So when you hear, so you can have the actor depicting or someone just speaking, but it's the same principle. Because you could either see the performance or you could just hear the performance. So someone could read the play.
Yes.
And then you have the play, you have the person reading the play and the person hearing.
Yes.
Or you have the play, you have the person acting and the person seeing.
Yes.
Like that. But it's the same principle. Yes. Does that make sense? So that, therefore, you know, reading, like we sit and read Bhagavatam, you get the same thing. So you have the Bhagavatam, which has the stories of the Lord and the devotees. You have the person speaking, and then the devotees who are hearing. So that dynamic, then, it works. So we see is that theater is one place to apply it. But the principle is an eternal principle. Does that make sense? So that's the point of the Chaitanya Upanayanam, is eternal principles are being applied into a specific, secondary form. You know, the primary being the Lord and devotion to the Lord, service to the Lord, bhakti. The secondary being the forms through which that may be expressed, or someone who's a materialist is not expressing it for the Lord. So in other words, drama is the place where you can express devotion to the Lord through depiction of the Lord, or the materialist also may depict whatever they like. It can be used, then it becomes avidya. Right? So paravidya is the Lord and his devotees. Aparavidya means then depictions of the Lord and his devotees through some medium of either, you know, discussions or drama or music or like this. And so that music, drama, dance, these things then become the aparavidya through which the Lord, the paravidya, is expressed. Now, if we take out the Lord being expressed, we just use the techniques of the aparavidya, then like modern drama, then you get avidya. Yes. Because it's only ignorance. It will just bind you. Yes. Yes. Does that make sense?
And in the second case now, there is no character.
When we have the... But in material drama, there'll be characters, but there'll be mundane characters. Yes. Mundane audience, yes. Mundane playwright.
Yes.
So the effects will all be mundane, and as it mentions, it'll always end in vibhatsa, because you can't keep... Like, how many times can you keep hearing Krishna's pastimes? Over and over and over again. But other things, you know, how often can you hear them? You know, it's very great, it's your favorite thing, but how often can you listen to it? You know what I'm saying? Like, if someone asks, what's your favorite food? You know, then you say, oh, this preparation. But when was the last time you had it? You know, when was the time before that, and the time before that? That's why it's the favorite. If every day, three times a day, that was what you were brought to eat, it would no longer be your favorite anymore, right? Unless you're Garfield, then it'll still remain. Right? So, makes sense. Yeah. These experts do not consider the rasa, that rasa issues from the characters represented by acting, or depicted by recitation, because these in themselves are just depictions of common characters, lauki katvadi, with limitations, possessing qualities such as fear. Right? As well, the actor or reciter cannot really cause rasa, because the actors and reciters are simply performers earning a living. Thus, the literary experts consider that rasa is caused by the spectator or the audience. The spectators are able to experience in their hearts something above the common material ingredients, alaukika, something transcendental due to the expertise of the literary work. However, the spectators or audience must have the proper previous impressions or sympathy for this to take place, since old mimamsakas, unsympathetic persons, could not experience the same rasa. The author agrees with this. Right, so he's saying that these three, everyone will say that these three are the elements, here in this case, the ingredients for the rasa. The character being played, or the script, the actor, and the audience.
Yes.
And then when we look at it, so the actor, you know, is not necessarily a transcendental person.
Yes.
You know, and then how they're depicting, especially if it's not, you know, a divine character like Vishnu or his pure devotees, then, you know, it's the demigods or this and that.
Yes.
They're also have a material thing.
Yes.
So then, if the audience is getting some transcendental benefit, it's due to their qualification.
Yes.
From previous samskaras and this and that, and that of that transcendental, and then they're connecting this to that.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, yeah.
It's like Prabhupada watching Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah, and then he's seeing original humor here and everything like that. And how? And so then he's, so there is the audience. So some say it's that because these two like that. Yeah.
I just sometimes I'm also looking Charlie Chaplin, but sometimes I don't.
You don't get the same transcendental taste and all that. But because Prabhupada watched and that, you're dedicated to following in the footsteps, so you keep watching, yeah. Hoping that one day I will see the transcendental rasa.
Determine.
Yes, okay. You know, you have to, you have to be determined in sadhana,
yes,
right?
I know.
Okay, so what he said there about then, it's not about the script or the actors, it is just the audience. But now, then Jiva Goswami makes this point. This does not apply, however, to depicting characters such as Rama and Sita, who are full of unlimited qualities who enter into the depicted characters. Because if you have the right attitude, they enter into. That's why then the character can be respected in that way, while they're playing the character. But it's not that they become like our Antra chief minister. Yes. In this case. So that's why you see, like in Vrindavan, because it's understood then when the characters are performing the Radha Krishna pastimes, Rasa-lila, all the little kids, the boys. And that then there generally comes in a time where either at some point in it or at the end, generally then they go and sit on the asana and all the other characters take their place in like yoga pit. Then the audience will come up and respect and things like that. At that point, that mood is going to Krishna.
Yes.
It's not the actor that's there, but they're representing, so you can worship Krishna through them.
Yes.
So you don't think the actor is. The actor doesn't think that they are. If anybody does, yes, it ruins it. But as soon as they finish and go off stage and all that, then now they're back to being who they are. Does that make sense? So that's the principle. That's the use there. Yes.
Also, that's where at the end of drama you introduce the character. He played this role, and then he is this and this. So you're doubly sure.
That is. Oh yeah, it goes back to. Yeah, we want to know who did, but then it brings it down to you separate that he's not that character. Interesting. Thus, those depictions are a cause of rasa. If the actors or reciters also have full sympathy with a portrayed actor, they can also cause rasa. So that means they're playing the role of. That means the character can create the rasa. And then if the devotee, they have that full sympathy with that, so they appreciate that mood of Krishna and they have that devotee, then they also can be projecting. So in other words, all three can do. Like that. That's the whole idea. But as we see, as previously mentioned, the quality of the audience,
yes,
will appreciate it more. As you pointed out, we may not always appreciate all the deep transcendental rasa when watching Charlie Chaplin. Yeah. So that's the whole thing, is that it has to, it means all three go together. So the qualified audience with the qualified script, and the qualified actors, like that, all that together. So when it says actors, that means directors, everything that goes to put on the production.
Yes, yes.
Like that. So you have the script, you have the production, and you have the audience.
Yes. So when it is made by all devotees together, it's perfect.
Yes. So when the devotees are the producers, the devotees are the screenwriters, that means the playwrights, the devotees are the actors, the devotees are the audience. And it's all based off of Bhagavatam and the instruction of the acharyas, then it's perfect. Then it's then it's always going to give a good result.
Yes.
Always going to give, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Abhinaya, theatrical representation. Right, because remember in the Sangraha, then it had the bhava in that, then theatrical representation, dramatic plot, success, vocal and distribution of roles. So now we're on Abhinaya. Theatrical representation. That which carries the performance towards the spectator, bringing out the meaning clearly before them, is termed abhinaya. Right? So that's why you see, remember before, is that of the gunas of the production, then the clarity is very important. Because that's the whole point of abhinaya, is to bring out what exactly is happening. You know who the person is by the abhinaya. You can see by how their stance and gait, by the makeup and that, by how they perform the facial, their hand movements, all these different things. then you know, then you appreciate the, what they say, you know, how they speak it. Yeah. The Natya Shastra emphasizes the role of Abhinaya in enhancing or diminishing the impact of any performance art. Right? So if the Abhinaya doesn't have that, the better it's done, the more effect it'll have. You know, but as we saw before, Jiva Goswami, you still have to have the right audience and the right script. You can't just be doing any old nonsense, you know, like that. Does that make sense? But if that's there, it will have an impression. It may not raise a consciousness, but like, let's say the actor takes a phone book and starts reading from the phone book in a very dramatic way. You'll be impressed because you know it's the phone book and all that and how they could do that. But you'll increase your appreciation of the actor, but it won't change your consciousness. Like that. Yes. A great play that is poorly performed confuses and loses the audience. While a play that is inferior in significance or meaning becomes beautiful to the audience when brilliantly performed. Right? So that's the point. It'll become beautiful. Maybe it doesn't... It'll uplift the consciousness from, let's say, a more morose or ordinary mentality. But the idea is you should be able to take it all the way through to transcendence. But the point is it's through the Abhinaya that upliftment is able to be projected. Right there. Acting, Abhinaya. So the whole thing, acting. You know, Abhinaya is the whole acting and all the elements. Then it has the breakdown of four aspects. Right? It is more than physical techniques or rote recitation. It is communication through emotions and expression of embedded meanings and levels of consciousness in the underlying text. Right? So now if you take just this point right here, that's then what they're taking in the modern. But they're not talking about, they're just communication of emotions. Yes. Like that, but they're not talking about raising consciousness. Now, you know, they talk about changing or moving, and yes, that way they can control. But they don't take it, they don't understand what it's actually for, where it should get to. Okay, then what's this? Thus, Bharat Muni categorizes Abhinaya into four sections, named Angikara, gestures, Vachika, words, Sattvika, temperament, and Anharya, costumes and makeup. Right? And so now, what's this section? Section is Abhinaya, and so then these four sections of Abhinaya, the subcategories, then now will be discussed. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.